Hour number two here of the Midnight Rider on Monday night, the 27th of August, 2007. If you're on the East Coast, it's now the 28th. Same thing in the central part of the country as well. But welcome to the show. Our number 800-313-9443 if you want to join us. Also, the chat room wide open at MidnightRiderShow.com. Just click on the chat link and you are in. Also, a handy-dandy email link if you would like to email comments, guest ideas, anything like that. I read your mail. Don't always get to answer everybody. But I'm so appreciative of all the thoughts and the comments that we get on the show. And the ideas and the information that comes my way. All right, Craig, when we went to the break.
Right.
You're talking about pre-planted explosives.
Right.
And I was going to save her testimony for a little bit later in the show, but you essentially at this point bring up one April Gallup, who is there with her son, ready to take him to daycare on the morning of 9/11 there in her office on the side of the Pentagon that's hit, and there's a massive explosion. All the clocks fall on the floor. Barbara Honegger's done a lot of work on this. The clocks fall on the floor, and they're all stopped at 9:32, which, if we have all our information straight, is 5 minutes before any plane supposedly hits the Pentagon.
Correct, yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of evidence for pre-planted explosives, in particular even the C-ring alleged exit hole. I mean, even your most strongest 757 impact proponents like Russell Pickering agree that had to be done with explosives. So, you know, there were explosives in the Pentagon. We know that, and we know the plane was on the north side, meaning it could not have hit. Now, April's testimony is important. She obviously couldn't see the plane because she was in the building, but
right.
She literally was rescued out of the alleged impact hole, and we have confirmation of this from a person that helped her. A currently enlisted officer who sent us a letter of appreciation. You can see it on our website, thepentagon.com.
Right.
But he helped her out that hole. So we know there wasn't jet fuel saturated everywhere. She actually came out of it. So, you know, things were a lot different than what people report. There's a little bit of debris and little small tiny pieces everywhere. They were probably blown up out of the trailers that were there. But there was no large pieces, no reason to suggest that a plane really hit the building. But the main point I was making is that the proof comes down to the light poles. That's
right.
What it is. The plane could not have hit them. The plane was on the north side. All the light poles are on the south side. They're very dubious. Four out of the five light poles were in inconspicuous areas. They could have been there for hours before the attack. No one would have known. Now, the number one light pole was allegedly out in the road and allegedly speared Lloyd England, the taxi cab driver's cab. And
we'll
he allegedly ended up sideways on the road.
Yeah, we'll jump into Lloyd here just a bit because that's a whole other subject in itself.
Right. Very important.
Caller, any other questions, caller?
Yeah, thank you. I was hoping to get a chance. You see, now you've gone and done it. Your guest has gone and done it because now he said that there were pre-planted explosives in the Pentagon, and now he has a definitive corroboration from an officer who told this party that this, you know, can testify to this. Okay, now you have a plane that's just pulled up an amazing piece of aerobatics. My father's an aeronautical engineer, an ex-colonel in the Air Force. Pulled up a plane at 710 Gs, cleared the Pentagon, and continues on its merry way. And nobody in the whole wide world knows where it went after that?
Well, obviously the perpetrators know where it went.
Intelligent men and intelligent women in and outside of the military are either lying or they are seriously on some sort of medication that make up
scared.
These kinds of stories.
They're scared.
I mean,
they're scared. Yeah.
I can tell you firsthand that
hold on a second, guys. We're coming up on another break. We'll talk about this when we come back on the other side here on the Midnight Rider. Caller, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We'll get into more of this here in just a second.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq.
Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Here on the Midnight Rider. You know, guys, the caller brings up an interesting point. What happened to this plane? You know, if it's pulled up and it flies, it does a flyover of the Pentagon, you know, surely there's somebody on the other side of the Pentagon that would have seen this airplane. Or at least we haven't found him yet. What are your thoughts about that?
On the edge of the Potomac River. So there isn't much on the east side of the Pentagon until you cross over to the Potomac River.
Right.
Into D.C. So now Reagan National Airport is right next to the Pentagon on its side of the river, and so there are planes flying every 3 minutes. It's a 24-hour airport, it's a national airport. So it's constantly happening, planes flying over the Pentagon. And when you're across the river, you don't have that great of a view. You just
right.
see planes. Plus, we know the plane took a big loop route around D.C. and then came around the bottom and then swung around, you know, came around Bowling's Air Force Base, and then swung around and did the line, the descent that we're all familiar with. It probably met up with the NTSB flight path there, but then veered off when it got to the Sitco. So we've got eyewitness testimony along this whole flight path documenting it. And so it's done. We know for a fact where the plane flew and where everyone in the area saw it fly. And in particular, this was notable. They knew this was the plane because air traffic had stopped for a while.
Right.
And this was noticeable to people, particularly a particular eyewitness who was in the area every day and in a good position right by the airport to see this. So, you know, that's how they were able to pull it off. You really don't see much. Even if they did see another plane, they had the second plane cover story, and that's where the right. C-130 came in. They just called them in there to say, oh, hey, there was another plane. That's what you saw. And then they put a few bogus accounts out there of people suggesting that the C-130 was shadowing the plane and veered away over the Pentagon right after. Well, nobody else saw that. That didn't happen.
And a four-engine prop plane is not going to shadow a twin-engine jet.
No, of course not. But you will see straight-up eyewitness testimony proclaiming this as fact. And his name is Keith Wheelhouse. And I believe that Dylan Avery may have an interview with him. I don't know, but I got a hint from Dylan that that might be the case. And so for Loose Change Final Cut, that might be it. I have no idea. He didn't tell me this, but I'm just guessing it might be the case. So, you know, we'll have to see that. But keep in mind, this didn't happen. No other eyewitnesses saw that. And I've got at least videotape of 7 eyewitnesses all looking at pictures of C-130 saying, no way, it didn't look like that at all. No, I did not see 2 planes.
Right.
Right. And you got to keep in mind, too.
Aldo, go ahead. Go ahead, Aldo.
Okay.
Hold on, caller.
You also got to remember, too, that people did report it. I mean, it did happen. So people did call in. You know, all the 911 calls were directing the first responders to the other side of the Pentagon, to the 14th Street Bridge, George Washington Parkway. I mean, this is well documented. And then on top of that, we actually went to the Arlington Communications Office where they take the 911 calls.
Right.
And they told us that they confiscated the 911 calls and sequestered them, and they won't release them. So, I mean, they released the ones obviously from New York or, you know, a good portion of them, yet they won't release any from Arlington. And I'm sure when we do get them, they'll be heavily edited and, you know, they won't contain any of the pertinent info that we're looking for. But I can tell you that, you know, we've got our feelers out, and, you know, we know that anybody who saw it, there's, you know, 1 or 2 people. Either they're confused by what they saw and, you know, fell for the second plane story, or maybe they called the FBI and the FBI said, oh, no, you just saw another military plane that was in the area. Or they're scared for their life, and they're scared for their country. And they think of it, you know, if they know what happened, they heard the rumors about the missile, they probably think that this plane that they saw, you know, launched something out, and that's what caused the hole in the building, because they saw a plane fly away.
Right.
So,
right.
I know it's tough to swallow, but the plane did what it did. It didn't hit any light poles. It pulled up over the highway on its way to the Pentagon. As we said, it pulled up on the way to the Pentagon. How did it hit the first floor? They all think it hit the building, but how did it happen? And
right.
And also, Craig didn't mention this, but we spoke with Chadwick Brooks after the fact, and he says that our movie was a real eye-opener. And he said that when I asked him if he could have been fooled or he could have missed the flyover, he said, and I quote, anything is possible. So,
right, and really from where he was positioned anyway, he might not have seen it anyway.
He might not have, right. He could have, you know, he could have just, like you, me and Craig were talking about the other day, if you even listen to his account, he says the plane went right in front of the building and then what seemed to be a quick second, a big boom, a big, you know, probably a big bright explosion. And that's what would distract you. That's what you, where you, you know, you probably, you know, wince or turn away or cower or whatever. Like Legassi flinched and jumped in his car when the plane went by. That's why he missed the impact, although he tries to detail it for everybody. But, you know, he doesn't see the pull-up, and, you know, obviously he missed that, and he missed the impact, and he just is deducing it. And he's adding this whole yaw business is him adding the, you know, official images you see of the plane entering at an angle, because he didn't obviously see that. He couldn't have seen that. I mean, it's insane to suggest he did when he admits that he flinched when he saw the plane to his left out of fear, jumped into his car to grab the radio. In that 2 seconds that the plane was there, it was already gone. So he just, you know, he really hates the missile theory and the global hawk theory and the people who promote it, and he really was trying to sell the impact of a big American Airlines jet.
Right.
And he had no idea that he was blowing the official story out of the water. So we just let him talk and let him do his thing.
Right.
So,
and we didn't edit it out purposefully, you know, because that's what we wanted to be 100% honest in what they reported. And that's another thing. People, you know, will accuse us of editing or doing something, but it's like, no, are you kidding me? These police officers would speak out against us. They gave us their full blessing, and they said that we represented them accurately and fairly. And if you have a problem with the way we presented,
I will say this about the interviews. I mean, you guys went to the point to where you know, with them going over their story and over their story, like in the case of Mr. Paik, the Oriental gentleman, that it was almost confusing because initially you guys changed positions and he was, you know, turned one way and then the next way, but you were verifying his story to make sure exactly what he was saying was the same, and you did the same thing with the two officers as well. Caller, you had a couple more points real quickly.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, if that's the case, then so the plane pulls up at that miraculous last second, amazing piece of flying mastery by this chap who has no flying experience whatsoever, and at the same time they detonate an explosion in the Pentagon to create this massive hole in the side of the building, and voila, the plane, like the Bermuda Triangle, just disappears into the blue. No one tracks it after that. Dick Cheney doesn't follow it. No one gives a stand down or a stand up or to keep tracking this bogey that just keeps going out there. It just drops.
Well, you're not paying attention. It was a military drone. This is a 9/11 was
guys,
an inside job.
My father, who's an old ex-Air Force pilot, said one thing to me before I started getting into this. He said, keep an open mind, but don't let your brain fall out.
Okay, well, we know 9/11 was an inside job, so they controlled that plane.
Yeah, we do know that. We don't have to argue. Look, whether a plane hit or a missile hit, it doesn't matter to me at this juncture, because all that matters is, obviously, we know we were lied to. Obviously, we know that gangsters and criminals are running the show right now and are spoon-feeding us this crap, and I can't make heads or tails of it.
Okay.
We got guys infighting in the movement about did a plane hit or a missile hit. I'll tell you right now, boys and girls, it GD don't matter at this point. It's fourth and goal time, and we better stop fighting about this. We know something bad happened that day, and some people lost their lives, and we should be fighting about that. Have a great night, guys. I love the show.
Thanks for your call. You know, and I think that's a lot of the there's a lot of people, guys, I think, that are frustrated with kind of where things are at as a whole. You know, there is no investigation, but no new investigation. But I firmly believe that until we change the system, that a new investigation is going to end up just like Kennedy. We can have 8, 9, 10, 11 investigations. But if you got the same yaks conducting the investigation, you're going to come up with the same results regardless of the evidence.
Right. We like to say you don't need an investigation into if 9/11 was an inside job. We already have proof. We need an investigation into who the perpetrators really are, and that's different.
I want to say something real quick.
Go ahead. We got a couple minutes here before the break. Go ahead.
I mean, realistically, we're not going to get anywhere without any solid evidence or any weak spot or Achilles heel that we can keep focusing in on. I mean, people have said it with 7. They've said it with, you know, the towers. You know, really, there is nothing. I mean, there's just too much, you know, neutralizing going on out there where we don't really get anywhere. And people are scattered everywhere, you know, in what they believe and what they want to promote. While we didn't intend to, but we really just wanted to find out exactly what happened at the Pentagon and report it as it, you know, went down. And
yeah,
if a plane really did fly on the south side.
Hold on a second. If I remember right, guys, you two were just kind of along for the ride, if I remember right. Is that correct?
No. We were the guys planning this trip. We knew. I'm the one who said, look, the only way we're ever going to get the answers, and that's the whole, you know, idea behind Citizen Investigation Team, is that we actually go out there and we recreate the crime. We do the forensic study that, you know, was never done.
See, Aldo and I were planning to go, and Dylan heard about it and thought it was a great idea, and to his credit, he booked the trip. And he brought Aldo out there and Russell Pickering to represent both sides, because Russell Pickering is a believer in the 757 impact. Now, he was very confused after our trip, primarily because of Lloyd's account, which is very interesting. I don't know if we have time to get into that, Mike.
Yeah, we'll get into that, and just probably after the break, we'll head into Lloyd land.
Okay, yeah, but basically Russell Pickering and Aldo were research consultants to Loose Change, and I'm all those partners.
Me and Craig
were
already planning on doing the trip, so that's kind of how it happened. We just kind of merged the two together. Getting back to the point is that we've given you guys the evidence now. I mean, to me, it's like I don't want to have to keep doing this. I don't want to do radio shows. I don't want to go out there. A lot of people think I'm doing this because of my ego, and it's not. I'm doing it because I wanted to figure out the particular puzzle at the Pentagon. And now that we know what happened, take that evidence and force, you know, an investigation, because you can't ignore that the fact that the plane was on the north side.
Back in just a second, guys.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Here on the Midnight Rider on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we're talking with Craig Reinke and Aldo Marquise of the Citizens Investigation Team. All right, Lloyd England. Actually, let's do Lagasse because we didn't talk about him at all. Let's handle him real quick about where he was at, positioned at, and then we'll get into Lloyd England because, as I was stating a minute ago, he's kind of a subject unto himself.
Right.
Let's talk about the Lagasse's testimony for those of you who haven't seen the movie. He's a Pentagon police officer who's at the sit-go pumping gas as the plane goes by. Pick it up from there, guys.
Okay, now Lagasse is one of the few witnesses that actually has legitimate government-supplied proof that he was at the location at the time of the event because he is visible in the security video. Now, he claims that he saw the plane go on the flyby him on the north side of the station, far on the north side, pretty much flying right over the fence of Arlington National Cemetery on its way to the Pentagon. Now, he believes it hit the building, and he kind of deduced like a little slew into the building, he called it, or a yaw, and it made it go into the building at an angle more depicted in the images. However, he also admits that he flinched and was scared and jumped into his car out of a fear when he initially saw the plane. So in that initial reaction, it'd be difficult for him to really see the impact. but he corroborates the placement of the plane exactly 100% like everyone else. So his testimony is very important. He describes the plane 100% as an American Airlines jet and is very confident that he knows this is what it looks like. So whether or not he's deducing this, we can't say for sure, but very few of the other witnesses say this.
Yeah, and he seemed very knowledgeable about things, especially, you know, as he mentioned in there, you know, that he had a knowledge of aircraft and stuff. I mean, obviously the guy was ex-military. You know, I could kind of pick that up about him, you know, pretty quickly.
Yeah,
but then again, he's a cop next to an airport too, so he would pick up a lot of that too as well.
Right. His dad is actually, I believe, a pilot of some sort.
Ah.
So if you read the email exchange between him and Dick Eastman that happened back in June of 2003, you'll actually, you know, he'll detail a lot of that. So, and he says a lot of the same things, although he adds a little bit more of the approach and where he's giving more of a definitive answer, where he actually told us, you know, well, I'm not exactly sure, you know, where it was over the Navy annex, this is where I saw it, and he cleared it all up. So it was great. I mean, you know, he was able to reenact the whole thing in a sense and rediscover his position, you know, where he was located, which, you know, a lot of people try to point out and say, oh, because he didn't know which pump he was at, you know, that his memory is faulty. But again, you know, in June 2003 is when he said he was on the starboard side of the plane refueling at the gas station. So, you know, his memory has nothing to do with his memory. I mean, it just obviously was just a small thing that he just forgot and didn't think much of, and he probably, you know, just naturally pulled forward as we normally do at gas stations and, you know, didn't think of it and just thought he had a better view. And at the same time, the view is really not even that much different.
No,
right.
It doesn't change the vantage point of the plane on the north side at all. In fact, in either position, he wouldn't be able to see the plane on the south side. Now, he describes details of a plane and the turbine engines, and this is notable of all of the witnesses. They all describe direct details. They didn't see a shadow or something of this nature. So although the coloring of the jet in this 1-2 second event was reported differently by all the witnesses, the fact that it was a twin-engine passenger jet on the north side, on the same side of the gas station where they all saw it, was 100% corroborated.
Right. Yeah, and I was looking at one of your diagrams that you guys had drawn regarding where the impact of that's supposedly the official impact and the flight path that you guys have drawn. While that's just an estimation, it's interesting that it almost forms a 90-degree angle. I thought that was very interesting. So it would almost be exact opposite.
Well, you know, that's really not the case. It's just from that perception, because what that is kind of a helicopter shot. And I know the view you're talking about,
right.
We use that image quite frequently to show the difference. But when you look at it straight up from like a satellite position, it's more like a 45-degree angle.
Ah, okay. So it still forms the top of a triangle.
Yeah, in a way. Regardless, yeah. And well, what's interesting, in fact, that's noted is they actually made an Air Force memorial right in front of the Navy Annex with three massive spires sticking up. They make this triangle, and we kind of like joke, like, oh, they represent the three flight paths. And sure enough, the plane flew right by those spires, and they came up after 9/11.
Right, and these nuts are into threes. They love threes.
Yeah,
they
right.
The threes, you know, they love it. I mean, that's their number.
Yep.
Is the number three. If it's got something in it, and anytime you see, you know, something with a three, I mean, shoot, there's a piece of evidence right there. They can tell you that, you know, the deal's an inside job. Just the fact their own memorial has, you know, is set up around threes. All right, Lloyd England. We'll get into him when we come back, because we'll have an extra half hour to go. And people, your video is for sale. The DVD is for sale. That helps you guys keep working. And you've got a director's cut coming out too, right?
Right. We've kind of shifted focus with this, because how it started was we wanted to put out a comprehensive movie on the Pentagon attack and release everything that we had at once, but it was such a massive undertaking, and we wanted to hurry up to get out the critical north side evidence, so that's why we created the smoking gun version. And that's why, as you were saying earlier, sometimes, you know, it's a bit, you know, they're going over the same things over and over in the interview, and they're doing it different ways, and yes, this is to help validate the information, and these interviews aren't really produced in a way that would seem, you know, entertaining to people, and that's
right.
Because they are historical evidence. We
right.
purposefully did very minimal editing on these interviews, so virtually all of the information would be there, and that's why we released the smoking gun version. But next, the researcher's edition is going to be a comprehensive film regarding everything on the Pentagon.
Okay, back in just
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Here on the Midnight Rider, final half hour of the program. If you want to join us, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443, or join the chat room at MidnightRiderShow.com. That's MidnightRiderShow.com. This program's here every Monday through Friday night, both here on the Republic Broadcasting Network and simulcast on the TruthNet Radio Network at TruthNetRadio.com. So we're here and got a nice little family joined together. We're talking with Craig Reinke and Aldo Marquise of the Citizens Investigation Team. They made a movie called The Pentagon. And if people want to get the movie, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, you can just go to our website, thepentagon, P-E-N-T-A-C-O-N.com. Actually, put the "the" in there, otherwise you go to a military defense contractor. So, but yeah, we've got a shopping cart. It's just $15. It helps towards additional research and the production of the Researcher's Edition, which was what I was talking about. Basically, we are not going to include any of the interviews in the Smoking Gun edition because we have so much more information. So it's going to be a much more tightly produced, more palatable, easier to watch film that goes over all of the aspects of the Pentagon attack and features, has a special focus on eyewitnesses.
Right. Oh, good. All right, Lloyd England. He seems to be the subject of quite a bit of consternation. How old is this guy?
About 70.
About 70 years old.
He's like 73, 75 now. I think he was like 69 at the time of the attack.
Okay. And he, according to his story, he's driving down the highway, Route 27. He's heading, I guess, south. And he ends up with one of these light poles in his windshield. And kind of relate his story, and let's talk about Lloyd some here.
Sure, yeah. Lloyd is a point of a lot of contention. He's a very critical suspect witness because he is where the eyewitness testimony meets the physical evidence. The claim is that light pole one speared his windshield. The problem is there's no damage to the hood of his car. Zero. Not a scratch. It looks like it was a brand new wax. Okay, now we've examined these light poles at the VDOT. They're 250 pounds, 40 feet long. Now, the top was allegedly clipped off, and the top was kind of bent. Lloyd specifically claims that the bent part went through the car to the back seat, and that the large, heavier part of the pole, the base, was sticking out over the hood.
Right.
Now, first
and that
he said it was
stopped sideways on the road.
He drew the light pole sticking out of the cab in the air, and then alludes to the fact that the pole came to a rest on the front of his hood. So,
right.
You know, and that is the damage that they try to reflect. I mean, if you look at the pictures closely, everything, you know, the windshield, the dashboard, the seat doesn't have a rip or a tear in it, but it is disconnected from the center hinge. So it's the seat back is off the seat. So they did try to make it appear as if a pole speared its way all the way into his cab. That's Lloyd's story. Essentially that he's coming down the highway, the plane comes over him, simultaneously clips the pole, goes into his windshield, he wrestles his car to a stop, as he says, and gets out. A silent stranger comes and helps him remove the pole. He falls with the pole on top of him. The silent stranger then gets back in his car, leaves him there to get out from underneath this pole, and then he gets up and...
And the hood is undamaged, and that's where
the
pictures
are. Of course, right.
Yeah, the entire
right.
time. So we know this is physically impossible and extremely dubious as it is. Now, in light of the testimony from the Sitco witnesses, who all placed the plane far from light pole one, it's clear that this is an absolute fabrication. Now, this puts us in a very difficult predicament because clearly Lloyd is a harmless, seemingly benevolent old man, a nice cab driver. The last person that people are going to think is a part of this operation is a nice old man of this nature. We're not trying to claim that Lloyd is responsible for 9/11. Obviously, that's not the case. But on some level, he is a direct link to the perpetrators. There's no question in this regard.
I've got to take issue with that because my impression of this guy is a guy that is getting up in years. Granted, at that time he's 69 years old. He's talking to you about it. What, 5-6 years removed? My sense of the guy is it based on kind of his body language, how his eyes were working, and that kind of stuff is two things. One, he doesn't remember what he was doing. Two, because I don't know if the guy's had a stroke or the memory's failing, but that was my sense of him.
Here's the situation, Mike. He could very well be manipulated. We have no idea the situation, and we don't put blame on Lloyd in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
But the fact is, you're noticing something very odd about his demeanor and his behavior. And he's describing a situation that didn't happen, that was fabricated. So naturally, there's going to be a lot of things he doesn't remember, okay? But
right.
The bottom line is, his story has remained the same. We're not the first ones to interview him, okay?
Yeah.
The Survivor Project Fund reported his story first, exactly like this. Mm-hmm. And then he was interviewed for NBC News. It was reported exactly like this. His wife was in the room, who, by the way, works for the FBI, or
right.
was retired from the FBI. She was saying the same thing. It was the long pole. All these people have been saying this story since day one, so it cannot be written off to just mere delusions of an old man, because it's been documented time and time again. We are not the first ones to get we're just
well,
the first
and,
ones
and
to
not
get
only
his
that,
full
but
story.
His story's changed because when he first did the Survivor Fund project, I mean, obviously it wasn't his own words, it was the author's words, but
right.
the way that the story was relayed was that the plane came over his car, it hit the pole simultaneously, went into his car, he skidded out to a stop, the silent stranger, the stranger gets out to help him remove the pole. As they're removing the pole, they turn to see an explosion, okay? So that means a big fireball, okay? That means the plane hitting the building. And obviously you know that that's ridiculous because by the time he stopped his car and got out, the plane would have already hit. So,
right.
You know.
So every other detail was the same, stayed exactly the same, just like that. But now, all of a sudden, his talking point is that how quiet it is and how there were not explosions. So he was not allowed to talk about explosions anymore. That left his story completely, whereas the long
right.
pole, the falling down, the silent stranger, all of it stayed the same.
Yeah, the other part of his testimony that I find strange and weird about whether or not there was actually a light pole in there, and which makes me wonder whether or not this guy, like I said, has had a stroke or some type of thing, because we're actually dealing with a person in our family right now who had a stroke about 4 or 5 years ago, and they remember things and events that didn't occur, but they remember them vividly. And but in the instance of the light pole, if you look where this where it's at there on the windshield, it's in the right dead center in the windshield, on the right at the along the dash, and there's no if it was a light pole falling down and going in, I mean shoot, you know it would you would think you would have more damage at the top, and it wouldn't have for him to suggest well here's what for him to suggest that this light pole ends up in the back seat of his car, the light pole would have had to been traveling level to him, towards him.
Right.
It's absolutely ludicrous and physically impossible. And not
right.
only this, I mean, he did not have a stroke. He currently drives a cab. Still, he's been driving
he'll a cab
since 59.
And
he says he's part of a motorcycle law enforcement fraternity called the Blue Knights.
Right. So, I mean, you got a question. Is it an act? Or is it real, you know, or was he manipulated in some kind of way mentally?
Mike,
you know?
he told us he still drives motorcycles.
So his
well,
memory
you know,
can't
I mean,
be
I mean,
that
I mean,
bad.
I mean, this person in the family still drives. I mean, they still have their faculties because there's varying levels of a stroke. And I'm not saying that's the case. It just that was my sense about him as I was watching his testimony. You know, on that expanded, the extra 20 minutes you guys have put up.
He's not all there, there's no question.
Right, exactly. That was my feeling just right off.
Right.
Because, I mean, Russell goes in and starts talking to him, and I mean, here he is clearly, you know, he's all clear about the details of this light pole, and then when he's asked about what side he's on the light pole, he can't remember.
Right.
Did the guy move it? He can't remember.
Right.
You know, basic little things, which lead me to believe that, you know, either this guy is remembering something that didn't happen. Was there a piece of debris that blew out of there and slammed into his car? Or did somebody just take a ball bat to it and pop a nice hole in it? Plus, the interesting thing is, you know, for everybody, every conspiracy theory lover, he's got a copy of a David Icke book in the front seat of the
right.
car.
Exactly.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Bring on the lizards, baby.
Right.
That and see, this is notable. He also makes a big deal about the fact that he doesn't know where the plane went, as if he doubts the plane hit the building. So instantly, he's supposed to become the darling of the movement. We're supposed to embrace him like a nice old man who's supporting our conspiracy theories. He reads David Icke and doesn't
right.
believe a plane hit the building.
Do you think it's possible that this guy is like Sam Danner?
No. He's.
You know what? Hold on. I actually did consider that in the context that, look, I 100% believe that he was placed on that highway. The damage was fabricated, and somebody put him on that highway. Whether he knew he was being put on that highway, I honestly do think he was. That's my personal opinion. But I did think he was a Sam Danner type. At one point, I did consider that, you know, he was a an ambulance chaser type, and he just wanted to be part of this. But the David Icke book, the FBI connection. Mike, for all we know, he could have been an old asset driving around D.C., tape recording AIDS conversations and politicians, you know.
That's very possible. You don't know. That's a very valid point. You don't know. That's exactly right.
Exactly.
I mean,
but we do know one thing. The plane wasn't anywhere near those poles.
Nowhere near
the
right.
dot on the north side. So, you know, you can't deny the evidence.
So there's no,
right.
I mean, I know what you're questioning in the sense that you think that there's a possibility that a piece of debris actually did hit his cab as he was driving, and he's just an innocent pawn to this whole thing. But, no, his story is the official flight path, and he was placed on that scene with those poles for a specific reason. That damage is supposed to, with the exception of the hood, supposed to, you know, emulate a pole striking the cab. So
yeah.
this is all supposed – I mean, look, the other thing I didn't get to touch on back with the explosives that you will find interesting is that who would you think would be planning explosives and staging generator trailers and packing construction trailers with debris? Who do you think at that time would be doing that, Mike? What would be your guess? If you could think back in your mind of what was going on at the time at the Pentagon.
Well, I mean, the very day before, we have $2.3 trillion they announced is missing.
Okay, but that section was under renovation.
Construction, right, yeah.
Right, remember? Okay, so they were
right.
this very section was under renovation, okay? So keep in mind, you got a gate going around it. You've got a mm-hmm. generator trailer that actually has its own enclosure. They actually moved the fence back and added the generator trailer and actually added the enclosure, okay? Now, what you have are two Pentagon renovation workers who document this fake flight path, this fabricated flight path.
In the ASCE report.
It was part of the ASCE report.
Yes.
Frank Probst and Don Mason. They were both part of the ASCE report and helped establish this phony Southside flight path through the light poles. And Frank Probst dives out of the way and is able to look and see the plane lift its right wing and hit the fence and the generator trailer with its right engine. So it's obvious that who else would be planting explosives in there? If these guys are telling a lie about it, we've contacted Frank Probst, okay? And when we contact him, he's like, you know, is this off the record? You know, he's immediately, you know, on the defense. Automatically.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. I mean, if these guys are jumping out of the way as an aircraft is coming through, again, according to the government story, at 500-plus miles an hour, just mere feet off the ground, I mean, the exhaust of the freaking twin-engine jets is going to blow this guy to kingdom come.
Right, or suck him in. He was 6 feet from the engine of
the
plane
when
he was 15 feet over the highway on this fake angle. Attack path.
So bottom line, like these most ludicrous accounts, Frank Probst, Don Mason, and Lloyd England in particular, are really the only ones that have totally 100% support that flight path. Virtually any of the other previously published witnesses could go either way. Because in their accounts, they're just static accounts that you read online. None of them are confirmed with the actual witnesses. So you don't know really what they saw. And that's why we made it our mission to talk to as many of them as possible.
What about this helicopter? You remember early on there was talk about this helicopter that's setting down on the helipad just as Flight 77 supposedly hits the Pentagon. Are there any eyewitnesses that corroborate this helicopter?
No. It's. I mean, I would chalk it up to either misinformation or disinformation. Maybe there was a helicopter seen on the other side flying to the other side towards the helipad, but. I would chalk it up to that. You've got Lincoln Liebner who said that the plane crashed into a helicopter, according to one account or reporter. But no, I mean it's a lot like the missile. I mean I'll be honest with you, Mike. I think the missile and the Global Hawk from Jump Street, they had that ready to go. That was going to be the cover story to throw everybody off, to make everybody look like nuts, so that. Everybody in Arlington would not be concentrating on that flight path into the building. They would all just go, no, you idiots, there was a plane. We know there was a plane. And that's exactly what they were doing.
And the five frames that they put out just totally blows their own flight path away.
Exactly.
Because it's sitting there 2 or 3 feet off the ground. And what does it look like? It looks like either a Global Hawk or a cruise missile.
Right, and that's what they did on purpose. And if you look at the front, okay, first of all, those five frames were leaked. Most people don't go back and remember that, but those five frames, the Pentagon spokesperson, Cheryl Irwin, who we also spoke with, she didn't know where it came from. They wouldn't even take credit for it. The DOJ wouldn't take credit for it. No one knew where they came from, okay? Then they had the little strip across it that said the September 12th date, and if you look at the actual time coding, there's a frame missing. It goes, the seconds go 19, and then 20 is missing, and then 21, 22, and 23.
Right.
So there's a frame missing, and presumably I would assume that that's the flyover frame. And they insert this little fake object, which if you look closely, this plume and the object itself do not cast a shadow on the ground like everything else in the picture does. But they insert that in there, and I think they did it for the fact that exactly what you said, that people would say, oh, my God, it's a missile. Oh, my God, it's this. It's an A3. Oh, look closely, it's this. When in reality, nothing hit the Pentagon at all. It was just a big jet coming in from the north side out of the bank and pulling up over the highway and not looking like an American airline.
Now, in my previous Pentagon conversations I've had with others, we've looked at this plane one, being too high, which you corroborate, to hit the Pentagon. Is it possible that the five frames are real And what we're seeing in the five frames is what was dropped maybe from the belly of the plane. Or out of a bomb bay door.
Not from the trajectory it was coming on the north side. It just doesn't match up with the physical damage at all, not even to the building. It's all on a trajectory coming from the south side, leading right up from the first pole all the way up to the alleged C-ring exit hole.
And no one
that's why we don't believe the flyover plane shot anything at all.
Right. And not only that, but that would mean that the plane had already flown over and that the object was, you know, before it or coming after it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. There's no way it could happen. Nobody saw it drop anything. The size of this supposed object is, I mean, what we're talking, the size of a VW, you know, Beetle or whatever. I mean, it's not, it's big enough that people would have seen
right.
it. You know what I mean? So
there's no reason for it. They just planned it all, just like at the towers. They did it all in advance inside the building during that two-year-long renovation to make it simulate a jet aircraft impact.
All right, final break here. Hold on, we'll finish up on the other side. Final break here, and we'll be back with one more segment with Craig Reinke and Aldo Marquise of the Citizens Investigation Team. Their website, thepentagon.com. Back here in just a minute on the Midnight Rider right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing. But they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
One, two, three. My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really want to? But can't stand to see me walk out the door. Don't try to fight the feeling because the thought alone is killing me.
Craig Reinke and Aldo Marquise of the Citizens Investigation Team. Craig, I think you were working on the thought as we headed to break. You want to finish that up?
Gosh, you know, I don't even remember what it was, but I do want to bring, I do want to bring back the point how Sergeant Legassi is an explosive detection canine handler, and he made a point to suggest that what he witnessed at the Pentagon was a deflagration as opposed to a detonation, which to him was proof that explosives were not used. Now, other people have raised the point. Detractors have said things like, well, gosh, you know, wouldn't the plane get debris in it and stuff from the explosions as it flew over? Wouldn't that hurt the plane? Well, bottom line is, I mean, clearly the destruction to the building from explosives was underneath the first two floors, as the ASCE reports. So, you know, that was inside the building. Now, the fireball itself would be like a Hollywood, the deflagration, if you will be a massive fireball designed to help detract attention. It would not be explosives, per se. So, you know, that was just fireworks, if you will. So, naturally, that couldn't do too much harm to the plane in the millisecond that was actually near the fireball.
Well, that, and also, too, you have numerous reports of eyewitnesses at the scene early on, just after, you know, of people smelling cordite.
Right.
Which is an explosive, as opposed to, you don't hear people saying they smelled kerosene.
True. Now, another good point was they say that a lot of people are suffering damage from their lungs from fuel, which may be the case. But we also know that there were fuel tanks in the area that were burning. So a lot of the first responders would have been breathing that in, and it doesn't mean it was from the plane.
Was the generator on fire?
The generator most certainly was on fire.
Okay, so you've got diesel fuel leaking, possibly. So that might explain that one right there.
Exactly. Or isn't that right? Although, weren't there other fuel tanks?
There were aviation fuel tanks, of course, for the helicopters, and then the diesel fuel from the generator trailer, which, again, if you look closely, I mean, it's obvious that front portion was just blown out with explosives. And if anything, either it was already turned in that direction, or because obviously, you know, they could have, completion of the renovation was taking place the next day. Obviously, them taking out pieces of fence and portions of fence wouldn't look suspicious at all, and moving a generator trailer around as if they were about to move it out of the area. So, yeah, it could have been moved before, or, you know, the explosives actually moved the trailer to the side. We don't know, but we know that the plane approaching from the north side would make that generator trailer damage and the fence damage, you know, completely, you know, obviously not, you know, it's not going to drive anymore.
Plus, it doesn't line up well with the damage with a plane. Literally, when you put a model of a 757, former member Undertow made these great images showing how the plane, if it would have had to have been too low in order to cause the damage that they're showing to the trailer, and it just simply doesn't fit, especially with the supposed flap track that was carved in the generator trailer. It's all very cookie cutter and doesn't really make any sense or fit perfectly, line up perfectly. It's obvious that they tried really hard to make it seem like it, but bottom line, the damage at the Pentagon is like virtually nothing compared to what these perpetrators pulled off in New York. So people who say the damage at the Pentagon was too complex to be staged, well, most of these people are also suggesting there was controlled demolition of three high-rises in downtown Manhattan. So believe me, there's a few little bit of debris and a few little bit of damage sprinkled here and there was no big deal in their own backyard.
Which they were, exactly, they were renovating. They were bringing boxes in. You know, you got the trailers in the front. People always ask, well, how did they plant the debris on the lawn? Well, there were trailers parked right in front of that exact section that was blown out, and those trailers obviously contained the debris, and the debris was just blown out onto the lawn. It was protected by the trailer itself and, you know, blown right out onto the lawn. And that's why you've got, you know, pieces of, you know, perfectly pristine American Airlines, you know, fuselage pieces.
Are we done?
You know, the second layer missing and the rivets missing, and, you know, they look brand new.
We're out of time, guys. Thanks for coming on. Interesting conversation.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thank you. All right, guys, we're out of here. Tomorrow night, open lines. Hey, find somebody you love and tell them you love them. Spend some time with your kids, your friends, your family, folks. That's why we're fighting to save this country. Have a good night. God bless. See you tomorrow night.